Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good morning. Welcome to Berardi and Coke after a shocking and disappointing game away at Coventry yesterday. I'm joined by the Pod Dodger. He's here today. How are you doing, Carl?
I'm doing all right today. Thanks, Matt.
You're doing better than me then. I've had about 4 hours kip after staying up for WrestleMania and I fell asleep during the main event. So I now have to find it again and watch the back end of it again because I stayed up for all that, fell asleep. Yeah, I'm just a bit like... This morning, I set this up from bed. Forgot to tell people what time we were on, so it's been a good start. But you know, it's in our style, isn't it? That's what we do on Auto No Better.
Chaotic.
So with that, I'll just run as a quick intro, and we'll get into it.
Perfect.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Auto No Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Well, that certainly wasn't spectacular, was it? Unless you want to say spectacularly bad.
You could say a few things spectacularly, all right. Yeah, I don't know which one would... Which one would be the best option? Like,
what did you make of it? I was bewildered, to be honest with you. I spent most of the second half on my feet screaming at the TV. God knows what next door thought were going on.
Well, I think yesterday was just one of those days where a mate of mine said it to me. He was like, I think Matt Adam actually. So basically, he felt that Leicester, our Ipswich and Leeds were going to lose. And this was before Ipswich had lost. And Leicester were going to win. And I was like, yeah, I'm not feeling that at all. But it turned out, he was right. And I genuinely didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was. I just thought that I said about Kamara there, I can't remember what pot was on, that he's just looking very leggy. And I think him being hooked at halftime was very much confirmation of that. He's the thing with Kamara is I'm not slagging the man off now by any means. He's been absolutely quality for the majority of the season. He just didn't play a lot of football prior to joining us. He was training with the under 21s for up to, I think it was 4 months, 5 months. Up at Rangers, so there was no proper football in his legs. You can see it's starting to catch up on him a bit.
Yeah.
I just didn't think we were very good from back to front. I'm not going to blame any individuals because I think when you start blaming individuals after the run we've been on since the turn of the year, you're really just starting to nitpick then, and I think that's not a great thing in my opinion. I think it's we definitely need to take a step back. I think the reaction yesterday was just, it was mental.
I were upset. I were upset yesterday. I think I said, that's it, then playoffs, we won't get another chance. That's, you know, probably not the case. But when you're upset and pissed off after watching a game like that, that's an emotional reaction. What I didn't do is start declaring that Farke's shit and that we need a different manager and all that, which I saw on Twitter, and I'm blown away by that. I mean, what do you think of that?
I think that is possibly the biggest overreaction we've had all season. When you look back, I know it's going back to the start of the season, but to say we are where we are after the takeover taking so long, the players that didn't want to be there were being shipped out. Farke came in. He didn't even know what squad he was going to have by the end of August. And to say that people are Farke out now is, it's absolutely crazy. I'm baffled by it.
On that note, I'm just going to bring up this tweet that I showed you guys in the group yesterday, because this blew my mind. So this guy has jumped on and said, give someone like Robbins our squad, he wins the league. And then this bloke's agreed with him. Exactly. Farke has been blessed with a great squad and we're in this position despite Farke. I reckon we'd be in a similar position if we had Marsh or Grazia just because of the talent level. I mean, now that is some take, isn't it? Right. I mean, we do a shit take of the week, but this guy's probably just done shit take of the year.
Shit take of the season, that. To say that we'd be in the same position with Marsh and Grazia. Now, I would probably say Grazia would have a better chance with this squad than Marsh.
Absolutely, because he at least tries to play actual football.
Yeah, Marsh had an absolutely unreal squad in the hands of anyone normal, let's be honest. Mm. And that's not taken away from the fact that Bielsa had the same squad, but he did tell the board 3 years needs to be recycled.
Yeah.
But to say that Marsh would have this squad in the same position, I despair with some of the comments that come from our fan base sometimes.
I do.
Genuinely do. Like, I can't imagine what he saw for a year under Marsh that gave him the idea that he would be in a better position than Farke.
Now, I feel like he must have been in like a Clockwork Orange situation, strapped to a chair, his eyes taped open, until like he started to believe the Marsh shit that were playing in front of him on the TV. I can't get my head around it otherwise.
Do you know what it reminds me of? You know those tweets that you see where it's like, oh, say one thing online, if you had one tweet to try and get someone to save your life, but it had to be a complete and utter fabrication.
That would be the tweet.
That would be it. Well, like, if I was ever locked away and anyone saw a tweet like that from me, take on board, I've been kidnapped and I'm being held hostage somewhere because that's the kind of tweet you send out. Okay.
If I ever see a tweet from you bigging up the Tories and saying the government's great, I'll know you're in trouble.
Absolutely.
We had a comment from CB there saying Farke built after squad. I mean, he's not wrong. We had players that didn't want to be here, players threatening legal action. We didn't know who the squad was going to be at the start of the season. We had players saying they were staying to fight to get us back up, then leaving a week later. And then we tried to get players like Ryan Fraser or whoever, and you know, that didn't come off, did it? He went elsewhere. And we had to get perhaps second choice targets in some cases. And still we're up here after that start that we had. And I'm upset. Do you know what I mean? I wanna destroy everything, set the world on fire when Leeds lose. It kills me. But to start like saying that it's in spite of Farke and that Robbins would win the league with it. I mean, who's Robbins? He's a nobody. He's never achieved anything.
Yeah. But the other side of the coin is we have to look at it and just they're a good football inside. Like they're a well run club now as opposed to a couple of years ago. They're doing okay. They got the playoff final last year. We're very unlucky to lose that, in my opinion. I'm not sure if it's a case of we played terribly and they just looked really good, but they also took a point off us at Elland Road. So we can't have been playing badly, like,
no,
at that point either. It's just that they're a good, you know, they're a good championship side. Like,
what upsets me is that, to me, I see them as quite an average championship side. Just not in that they're a bad team, just that they're very typical of what you get in the championship. They're one of those teams that have definitely got ability. They're not going to win all the games, but they could beat any other team on any day if it's, yeah, you know, the right day. And then that's the championship, isn't it? It's I would proper down about it yesterday. I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Ipswich have lost. We've blown our chance. It's so late in the season now. We might not get given another chance, and we might not, but there's every chance that we will.
Hold on now. Bear that. Just hold on to that comment there. There's a comment in here. Oh, Jammy obviously smashed the likes and subscribe, but it was the one above it. Ipswich still got Coventry and Hull to play.
Exactly.
So, look, if Coventry can play like that and beat us, and I thought we played just as badly yesterday as Ipswich did against Norwich.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, Hull are absolutely desperate for points now because they're outside the playoffs.
Yeah. So they're not too easy games for them. Like, granted, we don't have the easiest of games either. We've Sunderland at home next on Tuesday, which we'll touch on just towards the end of the pod. But we've also got Blackburn at home then on the Saturday. So they're two winnable games for me, especially with the run that Sunderland have been on. But we'll get to that in a little while.
Mm. Still here, Smarty. Sorry to disappoint. Rocked his caravan over. It'll be on his side now.
It'll be turning it over like them kids you see online throwing over the table. Lose a Call of Duty or something. Going back to the game, I think Coventry did come with a game plan which stifled us a little bit. They let us have the ball in our own half when we were playing it out. And they just kind of set off a bit. Now, that's a good tactic because we could only take it so far before we were all closed off in midfield and out wide, which is a tactic we've seen used by one or two teams already this season against us. Like, To me, I think people say Farc doesn't have a plan B, and I did struggle to see it yesterday, Bar throwing on every attacking player that we have in the second half. But I think it's just been one of those days. I know I said before the international break that it was probably a good time for us just kind of recuperate, but I didn't expect the Welsh lads to be absolutely hammering out the minutes, and I didn't think that, you know, players would get injured when they did and stuff like that, you know. But I think it's kind of given us a bit of focus now and a bit of a reality check. I think the unbeaten run for so long, myself included, now I'm not kind of putting anyone in that, you know, that bracket or anything like that, but we maybe got a bit ahead of ourselves in the stage of we were at, like. But I still think there's plenty of time. Like the comment there, Ipswich still have Hull and Coventry to play. So
yeah, exactly.
Look, there's absolutely no need to panic yet. There's no need to panic. The top two go up. We're not fighting for one place, you know.
If this is calm and this is panic, I'm probably about here, to be honest with you. I'm a little bit kind of getting nervous, but I'm not, you know, I'm not declaring it over or shouting for the manager out. I'm worried. You know, we're Leeds fans, we're always nervous and worried when shit hits the fan, aren't we?
Yeah.
Can't speak, man. My throat's going.
Yeah, well, that's
I did scream at the TV a lot yesterday. No, it was a Leeds game. Trust me. There was a comment here from Paul Brennan, and he's saying we had 19 shots, 8 on target, 9 corners. Most of the play, Coventry had 11 shots, 5 on target, and 2 corners. Just couldn't take our chances, and set pieces have been a problem for years. And I were going to say pretty much exactly that. I mean, we played badly, but we still had chances. We just didn't take them. And if we'd taken them, it'd have been a different story. It's not that we just didn't do anything, do you know what I mean? It's not that we got outclassed or dominated. We played badly by our standards and we didn't take the chances that we had, but we did have them. I think the only real criticism I'd dish out at Farker is that I think this was a game to make subs earlier. I think sort of 60-ish minutes, he should have changed it up. I appreciate he took Kamara off at half-time, which he never normally does. But I thought, especially Nonto, when he came on, he looked so lively. Yeah. He was getting right into him. He was direct. He was getting into the box. He was getting balls across. He was winning corners. And I just thought, God, if he did half an hour on the pitch instead of 8 minutes.
Yeah, I think
it was exactly what we needed. Assessment. Ruta was awful.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on Ruta, to be fair, yeah.
Somerville worked hard, but he couldn't do it all himself.
But the thing was as well, something that I noticed and it frustrated me, because we've done it a couple of times this season where we've kind of relied heavily on getting the ball out wide to Somerville when Dan James is in acres of space. And Dan James is as dangerous as Somerville this season, let's be honest. Like, I think he's only got maybe, what is it, he's got two less assists or something than Somerville, and I think it's like one goal.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Somerville not getting on the ball and not doing what he normally does, we isolated him by giving him the ball all the time. There was no change up. The one thing I will criticize Farke for is that we don't swap the wingers enough. Mm. And you can see it. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, we're managers or anything like that, but you can see it whether you're at the game or whether you're watching it on the telly. You can see that Somerville is getting isolated and then getting ganged up on. So why not just change the wingers every now and again? Put Rutter out wide, perhaps, and stick Somerville in the 10. Rutter wasn't very effective in the 10 today. He was very
terrible.
Sloppy, I think. You know, and he's relying too much on getting the ball into feet and backing in to try and win the free and keep them tight so that he can roll them. Yeah. I think he needs to, once he gets the ball into feet sometimes, to play it off so that the role he does isn't with the ball and there's no fear of him losing it. When we can maybe play it inside then, you know. There was plenty of options yesterday. I felt that he could have done that. And again, it's not pinpointing one individual and picking on them, but it's just one of the things that I noticed that he could have been doing better. He was trying to hold on to the ball yesterday. Alisson says it there as well. He was lucky. Let's be honest, Rutter was awful yesterday. He was, Alisson.
It was his worst game this season.
I think so. And to say that he's had one or two terrible games recently as well, like that's probably his worst.
He's got through because he's one of those players that can get away with being shit for 90% of the game, because he'll often still come up with something. He'll create a goal or score a goal. And that's what he's been doing. And that's okay. Do you know what I mean? I don't mind you being shit as long as it's not costing us goals, kind of thing, the other way. As long as you come up with something at some point in the match. But he did nothing yesterday. One of his sort of actions led to a goal, but I don't think it were anything that nobody else could have done if they were brought on for him, sort of thing. I don't think it were like a bit of Ruta genius like we've seen before. So I'm not sure if he's knackered. I'm not sure if he's just not fully recovered from his hernia. I don't know.
It's a difficult one. We all clamoured for him to be back as quick as possible, but having him back as quick as possible, kind of, it's been a bit detrimental to how we're playing because he's not 100% up to scratch.
Would you rest him for the next game or would you start him again? Give him a chance to redeem himself.
Honestly, I'd start Somerville, Nonto in the middle and James out wide. That'd be my starting front three behind Bamford, I'd imagine. But
would you pick Bamford?
As well as going to go on to now, Pirou's made a great case for himself to start up front with his goal and potentially should have been, we could have come away with a point there if his finishing had been a little bit better. But you can't knock him. That first goal was a great finish.
It was, yeah.
And then
he should have scored another one, though.
That's the thing. When he got into that position, you'd nearly have put your money on him finishing the second one before he finished the first one, you know.
And we've seen him score harder goals.
Yeah, it's funny. I was, I can't remember where I saw it during the week, but there was someone saying that they'd interviewed Rutter. And in Holland, he's taught to pass the ball into the net rather than hit it with pure power. And you could see that with his first finish yesterday. And he tried to do the same by wrong-footing the keeper for the second one, but look, sure, these things happen. Like, but I think he's made a good case for himself to maybe start on Tuesday night. I just think with Rutter, I think he just needs to take a step back. to get a good 20 minutes out of him yesterday would have probably been better than to start him.
Yeah.
Because he would have been fresh and there wouldn't have been so much riding on it if he'd kind of had 20 minutes or so. You can't help but think that he needs a rest after the surgery.
Yeah, possibly.
Like he does. Like to be fair, we don't know how long he was playing with the injury before he actually got it sorted.
Yeah,
and we can see the decline in his performances here and there. There was obviously bits where he'd set up quite a few goals, but the annoying thing is that there was areas of his game where we could have sacrificed him to have, you know, someone with a bit more guile in there.
Yeah.
Where he wasn't, you know, like he has changed games. Don't get me wrong. I'm not slating the guy. I'm just pointing out stuff that we've noticed. And I just think, I think he needs to not start the next game or the Blackburn game just because he's more valuable to us on 60 minutes, I think, at the moment, while his recovery is still going, than he is for 70 minutes when he's when he's knackered after half an hour, because you could see it there. He was tired. Like
coming on when the players he's playing against are tired as well will help him to do what he does a bit more smoothly. I mean, you don't know if like the hernia thing, I know it's like keel surgery or whatever these days, so it's probably barely noticeable, but still feasible that when he twists or turns a certain way, he feels a twinge and he's like, oh, Jesus. And so he's not doing it as much, or he's not completing the natural movements maybe that he normally would because he's getting a little jab of pain or something. I don't know. I'm speculating, but
yeah, that's
you just, like, you don't know, do you? You don't know.
He might not be comfortable with how the recovery's going. There could be a number of things where he's not doing what he'd normally do, you know?
Yeah.
But like, there's people in the comments saying that Matteo Joseph should start on Tuesday.
I was going to get to that.
Yeah.
What's your take on that? Because you said Pirro's earned a chance to start, but do you put Pirro in for Bamford or do you put Pirro in for Rutter?
So that's the other thing as well. Like it's a big game on Tuesday night.
You wouldn't really change both of them, would you?
No, you wouldn't change both.
Not in a running.
No, and going back to what we were saying about Rutter and his performance yesterday, you'd nearly put Pirro in there instead of Rutter if you were going to change anything at all. And then again, I'd try and interswap with Pirro and Bamford quite a bit if you could, but Joseph is obviously pushing for a start now. He's shown a lot of intensity when he comes on, which is something that towards the end of games, maybe Bamford is lacking a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why he brings him on, you know.
Pirro and Joseph combo played versus Chelsea, says Bryn, which, that's cool, but that's one-off game. It's not a league promotion title running. I don't see many managers changing both those guys. I think that maybe Bamford gets taken out.
Yeah, I don't think.
But if he takes Rutter out, then I think Bamford stays. It's just we don't know who comes in. Bamford looks leggy at the moment, and when you look at his fitness in the last couple of years, I'm actually surprised that he's played as many games as he has this season. I suspect he might not be fully fit because he is the kind of guy that'll play through an injury, isn't he? But
he is. Yeah,
I don't know if that's affecting him or what. His movement doesn't seem as good in the last couple of games, and that's the main thing that we all like laud him for. You know what I mean? We're all like, oh, Bamford moves around, drags defenders around. He does stuff that no one else does. It hasn't been there so much in the last couple of games for me. He's trying. He just seems off it. And I don't know if taking him out would benefit him, even if it's just for one or two games.
Thing is as well, like we've got the likes of Nanto who plays up front as well.
Good old Willie. You just cough your lungs up, Carl. It's all right. Yeah. I'll tide this over.
Thank
you. No, I'm doing it.
I'll stop. We're not short of options in the striking area at the moment. Like Willie is a fairly established first team player. If we were looking at playing someone up front, maybe I'd look at Willie playing up front. Like, you know, he's got,
he can play there.
He can play there, and he's got a good few goals now since he started coming back into the team. He's confident. I've always said Willie can play a central role. Like I'm very confident if you put him in the 10 role at any point, he'd be absolutely fine in there. I think he's got the skill and the football intelligence to be able to play that role. Like he's found a few through balls as well, where you wouldn't normally kind of find a player of, you know, like a winger playing that kind of ball.
He's got so much technical ability. That's why it's been frustrating watching him play and putting lackluster performances for the first half of the season. But he's come back to life now, and he's started to do what he looked like before. He's like, he's cutting in, he's taking shots, he's taking men on. Yeah. You know, he looks like the old Nonto again. And I want to see more of him.
Yeah, I'd very much agree with that, Jay, man. I think we have options, and I don't think anyone should be freaking out about anything that's, you know, possibly ahead now after yesterday. And we have it in our locker. Even David Gray there says it in the comments. Willie number 10 for Italy, like, so you know,
a singer.
Willie number 10.
No, David Gray. I'm not talking about Mambo number 5, mate.
Right, I was just wondering there for a second.
But and Georgie, like, and Paddy, and Willie.
Yeah, there you go. There's going to be a song out with that soon, I'd say. It's only a matter of time now.
Probably.
But, like, he can play there, and he can do a job. So people, like, we just need to take a step back and just be like, just look at the reality of it. Like, we've lost once since the turn of the year.
I were a bit like, oh, well, that's it then. It's playoffs now, straight after the game. But that's just raw emotion after. Man. Yeah. A couple of beers and a lot of pissed offness, if that's a word. It's not time to panic, is it? It's just, we just have to crack on now. I think we had a comment in the ones that got starred there. Just see if I can find it. I think it was Smarties one there.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Taking it as a good thing, it's a quick slap around the face reality check. Could be a good reset for us. And that's it, because we've got to this point where it's like, oh, we don't lose anymore. We don't get beat this year. And you do start to wonder if the players start to just expect to win. You know, or at least to come away with a point at the very least. They expect to score a couple of goals. They don't expect to get beat. Yeah. Well, maybe this will help. Maybe this will just make everyone think, fucking hell, we might throw this away if we're not careful.
Yeah, that's you make that point there. Just as Skip puts this in, 5 points drop from a possible 9. Not good this late. It's not good. Like,
it's not.
But at the end of the day, there's still, 2 points between us and top. Like, so let's be honest, it's not the worst thing in the world. I always, whenever anything like this happens, man, I always harper back to August and the games we drew where we should have won, stuff like that, you know. And if we'd have won those games, you know, like we got draws bar Birmingham and whatnot, but if we'd have won those games, you're looking at us still being about 9 points clear, like, and they'd be singing Farke's praises out, you know, all day long. But now they want them out. But anyway, sorry, you
probably can't. And yesterday, you know, as I said earlier, we could have got some out of the game. We had the chances. It's just that we didn't score. That one when Somerville went for that shot and it was his trademark curler, and that defender headed it off the bloody line. Does that happen?
9 times out of 10, he heads that into his own net.
It just wasn't our day. We had no luck. The referee was abysmal.
Yeah.
You did. And it was Andy Aylor saying the ref was shite, but that's an ominous league. We said the same in the group yesterday, I think. The guy was useless. He got everything wrong. He wouldn't give us anything. How many fouls did he let go on us?
He let quite a few go on Rutter to the point where Rutter had to be absolutely, I think it was studs on his ankle at one point in the first, or the, was it the second half?
Yeah.
Or the first half. Where he got a free kick. And I was just standing, I was sitting in the house here watching it going, well, sure, that's a yellow card. Like, and he's going around to all these players going, oh, that's your fourth one now. It's like,
exactly.
Well, you should have booked him after the third, really. Like,
but he's booking Gruev straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. First challenge, you book Gruev, and then he's gone over to all the.
But they get four.
Four, yeah.
That Bidwell were a fucking arsehole.
Yeah.
He could have gone.
Yeah.
Sheaf could have gone.
There was a few there now, to be fair. Like, that's.
Oh, and when Sims blasted fucking Ampadu into the boards and he got off and had a word with him. And but Ampadu got booked.
Yeah, and gave a free kick to them.
Where did that come from?
I was like, hold on a second. Which players ended up now hugging the hoardings there? Like, you know what I mean? I Joe Blackburn made a good thing when she was doing it. Apparently he was a bit of a card happy ref, but...
Not for them,
no. He was more than happy to fire them out at us every now and again. Like, but I just, like, we can sit here and we can blame the ref as well all we want. But at the end of the day, we were shocking, like. And it's like, it's just this, one of those things. We have to get over it, like.
Mr. Dodo says Ampadu got a yellow for being put in a headlock. Yeah, basically. The guy wouldn't let go of him. Yeah, so he got smashed, and then when he's like got up and the like clashed again, he's like he had him, and Ampadu had his arms out saying, he won't let me go, ref. And his head was like there with the guy's arm around it. And the ref books him.
I don't get it.
I don't understand it. I don't get how you could do that unless you got an agenda. You're determined.
See, that's the thing as well that annoys me about yesterday. That happened again, like the Willie incident against who was it? Millwall at home recently when that Cooper fella dragged him to the ground and wouldn't let him get up.
Oh, yeah.
And the linesman was standing right there. And I was like, You're meant to assist the referee. If you could see that that's a foul on our player, you're meant to put the flag up and press the buzzer so you vibrate your man's ring piece over there in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
And you get him back in over here to
set his butt plug off.
But there's none of it. Like yesterday as well, linesman standing right there, didn't do anything. The ref was 40 yards away and he came over and made the decision based off not even talking to the assistant referee. And I was like, what is the point in these guys anymore at all? Like, get the ref calling throw-ins from 40 yards away.
That you can't see.
Oh, man, it's absolutely mental. But again,
That were another thing, like when throw-ins and corners and stuff we were denied.
Yeah.
When you could see they obviously came off the other player. Like, Ruta lost his mind when he gave one the other way.
Yeah, that's the thing, like. And
it was just stupid.
Yeah, the ref didn't really keep up with play very well, in my opinion, either. Like, I think, I think it was just a case of he was out of his depth and he either is a Leeds hating bastard or he just, you know, wasn't very good at his job. I've seen a few tweets about the EFL conspiracy going on again recently over the last couple of games, and it's like, keeping the cash cow down and all that.
I don't want to believe that, but when you watch Ipswich games, they seem to get everything. Everything.
Yeah.
Like against Southampton, they should have had a guy sent off.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. Southampton had a guy sent off.
Yep. And then ended up losing the game.
Yeah. And it just seems to go that way for them every game at the moment. Every game we have, we're getting bizarre decisions against us, or we're getting no decision at all and fouls are just allowed to go on. I'm trying to tell myself the refs are just shit. But at this level, they shouldn't be. It's not like, you know, all right, they're not Premier League refs, but fuck me. There's like, what, 8 tiers of football below the Championship that all have professional referees, or at least probably like 4 or something, 4 or 5 that have proper FA refs. And like, how bad must those guys be down the bottom? I mean, what are they getting in League 2? Blind man and his dog?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I've watched a few League 2 games over the last couple of months, but I've never taken much heed of the refereeing, but the standard in the Championship is absolutely horrible.
To be fair, in the lower leagues, you probably let more go. It's a bit more of a rough and ready game. But
yeah,
refs shouldn't be coming up if they're crap. They should be staying down there.
Yeah.
And this idea that, like, if someone has a bad game in the Premier League, you get sent to Championship for next weekend. Well, why should we have someone who's performing badly inflicted on us?
Yeah.
They should just sit out a weekend. Like, he still gets paid. He still gets to ruin someone else's weekend. Make him sit out for a couple of weeks and, like, make him sit and watch some fucking training videos or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you have a bad performance, you should have to go do a course or something.
I think, if I'm being perfectly honest with you, I think the referees should be made to sit down with their assessor after every game, go through everything, and then a report should be sent out into the media. If the refs aren't going to come out because, you know, this and that, and talk at full time about their decisions, then surely they should be made to sit down with the with their assessor at the end of the day, and then put that on, and then just be like, right, yeah, this is what the ref and his assessor came to the conclusions as to why these decisions were made, and then publish it in the media. If they're not going to talk,
absolutely,
be held responsible in some form or another through media outlets.
Yeah. I mean, Bryn's just saying their argument there is, Jay, refs will walk, and then he says, apparently, though, they get 70k a year plus bonuses. Now, I'm not being funny, but I don't think any of the refs in our division, at least, would be capable of going and earning 70k in any other job, because they're absolutely inept human beings. So they ain't going to walk. They might threaten it when they're all together, like, oh, you can't do this to us. But if it gets pushed through, they'd just come back. They'd have to do it. Because if they don't want to do it, I'll fucking do it for 70k a year. Everyone likes telling me I'm a fucking arsehole anyway, so I might as well get paid for it. You know what I mean?
Oh, Jesus.
Right, I'm just going to run some of these starred comments, mate, before we get too far on.
Yeah.
So we've got one from Bryn here. He says, it needs changing up top. Kamara also needs dropping. Been woeful last three as well. Can't carry players, especially this time of season. I think we will see changes. And I think Kamara probably will sit next game out. If it moves off my screen, that doesn't help. Steve Brown says it's a 5-game shootout with Ipswich. If we get one more point than them in those 5 games, we go up. That's something I was going to mention as well, Carl. Our battle now is a straight battle with Ipswich for me.
Yeah.
There's no point looking ahead of that at anything else. If we end up winning the league, great. But our battle is Ipswich.
Yeah, I've said it for months, man, that we should always just concentrate on second place no matter what. Like,
yeah, definitely.
I think that's very much how we should start doing things now. It's one of those where we always knew it was going to be this close after Christmas. We knew it was going to be close with Ipswich because they were always catchable. We didn't think Leicester would have been thrown into the mix at the last minute either. Like, so second place should always be our aim, considering where Leicester were at this, you know, up until a couple of weeks ago. Like, so
well,
I think that
they might get a points deduction. Yeah, I doubt it, but you never know.
They're not getting
that this season at all. Nige D says, let's be honest, we've not been on it since that international break. I'd agree with that, but
yeah,
caveat to that is we've not been full strength since that international break. We've had players out, we've had players playing unfit. You know, I'm not panicking about that just yet, but it is a good point. Skip says, but do we think Farker will drop Bamford? I doubt it. He can be stubborn. I think he might, because he make some comments after the game that Bamford wasn't really effective or something along those lines. I might be imagining this because I've barely slept, but I might just be thinking of Brinning group chat.
I don't know. I can't remember. I didn't hear anything from Farke. No, I kind of shut myself off once the final whistle went. I was like,
I'm saying I can't. I try not to look at anything when I feel like
I'll absolutely demolish content if we win. Like, I'll just fucking everything.
Me too. Me and too.
I can't be arsed. It's like years ago, I wouldn't buy the newspaper if we lost.
I'm shocked people are watching this. I'm grateful everyone's turned up to come and listen to us, because I find it very difficult to listen to anything like this. I didn't even want to do this. You know what I mean? I woke up this morning and thought, oh God, I've got to talk about that.
Yeah.
But it's therapy, mate. Once you get going, it helps. It really does help. It's good, and it's good to know that everyone else is miserable too. That makes me feel better. Brid says, Pirro should have finished that second chance like he did for his goal at Millwall away. Identical position, but went near post instead of far post. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's replayed that a million times in his head.
Even when we were going,
regretted it every time.
Even when we were going to take a corner, quite shortly after that, he was still standing there in the box going, really bothered him. Like, and
you can tell he cares.
Yeah, like that's his bread and butter, that kind of finish. And
oh, by the way,
yeah,
what was that corner about? The last one when we were about to go for full time, what was that about?
Don't know.
That were the old typical can't beat the first man Leeds corner, wasn't it? It made a comeback.
It was shocking. And
I thought we'd got rid of that.
And it was a good job the ref blew it up, because Melier was in their box.
Yeah, he was, yeah. I had this vision of like what happened to Hull happening to us when Melier came up.
What did you?
Just, oh God, oh God.
If we're going to lose 2-1, we may as well lose 3-1.
Yeah, do it. Do it in style. Simon Curley says, must win Tuesday. Ampadu interview sounds like players are going to be up for it. As yet they should be. Well, I've not heard that yet, but I will give that a listen. And that's what I want to hear. That's the kind of thing I want. I want them to be upset. I want them to be pissed off. I want them to fight.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think they will. I think like Smarty said earlier on, and a few comments in there as well, it's a good reset. It's a good kind of, right, okay, you need to get back to what you were doing previously, because you've clearly fallen off a bit, and
yeah, that's it.
Goal. Like, let's just get that's it right. Done.
Is that puppy going berserk in your house?
Dog going absolutely
mental downstairs. So.
My bro was gone helping his missus move, so he's downstairs.
He's got a lot of stored up energy.
I don't know where, like, yeah, well, I do know he's 14 weeks old, like, so.
He's only about the size of a Greg sausage roll.
Oh, he's gotten bigger since, man.
Has he? I'm gonna have to come see him again.
Yeah, man.
Jammy, good old Jammy, regular here. I was going to say always with us, but I don't want to kill him off as well. give Bamford a rest, play Pirro, keep Rooter on as he creates something from nothing. That's what I've said, like, most of the season. And I said it earlier, Rooter can be shit for a large portion of the game, but then he'll produce something, and it's a bit of magic, and you get a goal from it. And when he's doing that, I'm okay with it. But when he's not, he becomes a passenger. That's the issue. He has to do something if he's playing like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
That's a nice one from Paul. We're watching Jane Carl because you have a bloody good show. Ups and downs. We stay with Leeds forever. Win, getting beat or draw, Leeds forever. Keep fighting. Cheers, Paul.
Absolutely.
You're a good lad, mate. You're a good lad.
I'm just going to here just before we move on. He makes a good point. Leicester playing with a cheat team from the Prem that's not been punished.
Exactly. And we got relegated because of cheat teams, including them. So
yeah.
And they were going to try and sue Everton with us. Cheeky bastards. Were they thinking that they could offset the losses by suing Everton? Would that count in the PSR?
That's a very
I wouldn't be surprised if it were a dirty, calculated move, that, because that's what I expect from that club now. But anyway, we've kicked this corpse to death, I think. So I'll just bring the table up and we'll have a quick look at it, and then we'll have a few minutes to talk about the next game, Sunderland, and we'll call it a day and let everyone get back to the Sunday. So there we are, and the logo's in the bloody way, so you can't see the points, which is awesome.
Brilliant.
Blame Gilly for that. He set that up. So, as I say, Leicester, they're kind of back to a position where I'm going to ignore them for now. I'm not bothered what they do.
Yeah.
They're in touching distance, obviously. I'm not saying that they're not, but we're right next to Ipswich, and that's the fight for me. It's a point. We've got better goal difference.
Yeah.
You know, we've got same goal difference as Leicester, coincidentally. Yeah. But yeah, I see that as the fight now, and we've just got to better what they do from here on out.
I'm very much in agreement there, man. I think people losing their shit yesterday on Twitter was absolutely uncalled for. Yeah, we played terrible. Overall, we needed to show up and at least get a draw there. We didn't. But the reaction online, look at that table.
It's the having it taken out of our hands, I think, that gets people going. We are now relying on Ipswich to slip, but they will.
But that's the thing. Like, we've slipped. They slipped. It's going to happen. Like, you don't know about Leicester as well. They're not home and dry yet.
No, that's right.
This is the thing.
You know, you look at Coventry there and Hull, they're desperate to get that playoff place.
Yeah.
So they're both going to play Ipswich. They'll be fighting for their lives there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see a panic there at this moment because I think they will drop points. We've seen that they're not the best defence in the world, Ipswich. They do concede goals. And if they come up against a stubborn side like we have in the last few games, then anything could happen.
Yeah,
my only worry is if we don't win the next game and then it starts to look, oh, shit.
No, I think going into the next game, I think we'd still have the confidence in the squad. If Ampadu's interview after the game is anything to go by, I haven't heard it, but from the comments.
No, I haven't yet.
He's going to be proper, you know, digging them and getting them going, and so is everyone else. I think everyone else sees the bigger picture now, and they can't let a performance like that happen again, and I don't think it will.
No, I don't either. Jamie's saying referees are the reason cousins shouldn't marry. I'll move us on and we'll wrap it up in a minute because I think we've probably both had enough of talking about that, haven't we? Next game, it's Sunderland at home, isn't it, Tuesday night?
It is.
Do you see any major changes? Do you think it'll be Gray back into midfield and Roberts at right back? I think that's probably going to happen.
Well, if Roberts is fit, I'd rather we play. I get slated every time I say this. I just want, you know, Archie's play, it was the same thing that happened to Ampadu. Went into midfield, looked completely lost, gone back to centre-back, and he's looking all right again, bar yesterday being a bit sloppy, looking all right again. Same with Gray. He's going to need two or three games in there to get his full-on groove back. Now, I'm not saying that we can afford to give him two or three games, but I think he's got enough in his locker to play well enough in all the remaining games there. We don't know what's going to happen. We can just go on the Park season training. Now they won't have much sessions before Tuesday night.
He did a pretty decent job of being the only midfielder yesterday at one point. You know what I mean? When we kind of dominated the back end of the game, we were all over him once all the attackers were on. And Gray was the only guy in midfield, and he was doing a great job for me. I'm not worried about having him in there. I like seeing him in there. He's more of a natural midfielder to me, but he's a very good right back. We're very lucky to have him.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get me wrong. He's kind of he's adapted extremely well to right back. I just hope it's not at the detriment of what we've seen of him in midfield at the start of the season. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think any of the forwards get swapped out? And if so, who?
That's the conversation we've had there. I think I'd like to see either Pirro or Nanto play in that 10. Just leave Bamford on for 60 and start giving Joseph more time. So half hour on the pitch. He got, 18 minutes yesterday, I think. Still enough for him to make a solid impact in other games, bar yesterday. It's a difficult situation to come on to.
Yeah, that's the first time we've seen him come on in a league game when we're losing.
No. Didn't he get the equaliser against Watford?
Oh, no, he did. You're right. You're right.
But that was
because I keep thinking about that conversation we had about game states and all that. Yeah. And I'm thinking, we were doing well against Watford when he came on. Yeah, no, you're right. Ignore me.
I think Bamford for 60, take him off after 60, give Joseph a good half hour, see how Pirro is doing in the 10 role. And then maybe if he hasn't already brought Nanto on, I'd take Pirro out and put Nanto in the 10.
Then
what you can do then is you've got Somerville who can play in the mid, down the middle as well. You could be swapping them two over and back the whole time and absolutely running amok. At least that way, then they wouldn't know if Somerville's playing inside, they can't close him down because he's going to be in that free role. So who do they look after then? And it just gets them thinking during the game. You know what I mean? I think it's one of those where we need to be on the ball, and we need to start our movement on yesterday was terrible off the ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was terrible. I'm not going to get back into it now, but it was terrible. I've just had a thought here, Jay, before we finish.
Oh, go on.
Because we don't have a main pod before the game, should we take predictions now?
We can do if you want. Yeah. We've already got one from the fans here, from Paul That's Brennan.
What got me thinking. So Paul's going for a 2-1 win.
He's just beat CB there and Nige.
2-1 leads.
I'm going to have a 2-0 leads. I think we'll make a comeback and everyone's going to feel a lot better.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-1 leads.
Okay. Interesting.
Like you said, it's one of those where it could be, wow, how crap were we? Let's just run amok here.
Yeah, exactly. You never know, do you?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to check what's Ipswich's game when we play. Somebody in the comments said what their next four were. Watford, Borough, Hull and Coventry, Steve Brown says.
Yeah.
So they'll probably win against Watford, to be fair. Borough might upset them. So we may still be in the same position Tuesday night. But, hey, you don't know, do you? It's a championship. Anything could happen.
Man. Yeah, man.
That's it. I think we've probably finished up there, Carl. Not a lot else to say. We'll be back probably... Probably end up being a main pod rolled in with a BNC, won't it, Wednesday, most likely, if we're doing
probably,
a Tuesday
game. Yeah, I'd imagine that would be the case.
Yeah, but besides that, yeah, that'll be us. You got anything else you want to add, mate?
No, just thanks for everyone who joined in the comments and watched along. It's good to talk.
It certainly is. And that segues me nicely into giving a little shout-out to Andy's Man Club. I don't know if we've got a graphic currently for April, so I'm just gonna verbally just, you know, freestyle it. But yeah, as most of you know, we did a charity walk to raise some money for Andy's Man Club, and you can find details of that on our Twitter, and also the details for Andy's Man Club, and we can put you in touch with the guy that we know, Lee, if anybody needs that. You know, if you want to have a chat, you just want to get out, you just want some company, you don't have to worry about sort of turning up as a stranger or anything like that. They're a good bunch. Like when we did the walk with a load of these guys, and they were so friendly, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone were chatty and nice, and yeah, it was great. They do different things like snooker nights and walk and talk and that kind of stuff. But yeah, if you're feeling down or you've had enough, have a chat with them, because you never know, it could change your life. Yep. Anyway.
Absolutely.
That's us done, mate. Thanks for joining me, Carl. And I will see you all next time. And cheers to everyone that's joined in and commented as usual. And we'll catch you next time.
Take care.
Adios.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to another Otto No Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoNoBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.